Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. On today's show, we're talking about the legal system. I often get questions, both from clients and even listeners to the podcast, about the merits of a legal case. Now, to be clear, we're not lawyers, and the purpose of today's show is not to provide legal advice in any way. The purpose of today's show is to illustrate the uncertainty of the legal process. I'm going to report on a case of a commercial lease in the province of Ontario. Commercial leases are usually considered to be ironclad. They're not subject to being torn apart by the landlord-tenant board like you might have in a residential lease. The interpretation is going to rely largely on the wording of the lease itself and much less on outside legislation that might trump the terms of the lease. The case in question is between Cam Center Holdings and their tenant, which happened to be a law firm, and they were parties to a lease in a commercial suite in a suburb of Toronto. That lease was scheduled to expire on January 31st of 2023. Pursuant to a termination clause in the lease, the landlord cited that they planned to demolish the lease premises as the reason for terminating the tenant's lease. They provided that notice on October 31st of 2019 and gave them 6 months termination notice, meaning they would have to vacate the premises by the end of April 2020. Under the termination provision, the notice of termination would only be valid if the landlord obtained all the requisite permits and authorization for the commencement of demolition by the end of the six-month period. And they provided such a termination. It said, and I'm quoting, "Please be advised that pursuant to Section 1505 of the lease, the landlord has decided to demolish the building, of which the lease premises form a part, and it's exercising its right to terminate the lease as set out herein. The landlord hereby provides 6 months written notice of the termination of the lease, and the tenant is required to provide vacant possession of the lease premises by April 30th, 2020. And there was no dispute as to whether the landlord intended to demolish the lease premises. The landlord planned to develop into a condominium complex, and the landlord had already sold 943 condo units in advance of construction, totaling $557 million in sales. So it's pretty clear that this is a project that was moving forward. As was the case with other large-scale demolitions, the landlord planned the demolition in stages. Before the physical demolition could start, asbestos removal within the building was required, and that was the first stage in the landlord's demolition process. Given that the landlord required vacant possession of the building to begin the asbestos abatement, the first stage was in fact set to occur after the end of the notice period. But most importantly, the landlord did not require any permits or authorizations for the asbestos abatement. In fact, they couldn't apply for a demolition permit until after the asbestos abatement was done. Towards the end of the notice period, the tenant discovered that the landlord had not applied for any permits for demolition. And given that the landlord was obligated under the terms of the lease to have all of the requisite permits by the end of the notice period, the tenant took the position that the termination was ineffective and they refused to vacate the premises. So the tenant then applied with the court for a declaration that the notice of termination was in fact ineffective. The landlord defended the termination in court, and they filed a cross application claiming that the lease was further terminated by tenant's various unrelated breaches in the lease agreement. So the landlord tried to up the ante by delivering these notices of default to the tenant, which indicated that they were in fact being brought without prejudice to the landlord's position that the lease was terminated by the notice of termination. Now the judge in the case found evidence that the landlord was not in fact precluded from seeking a demolition permit or a conditional demolition permit prior to the completion of the asbestos abatement. So on that basis, the judge reasoned that the commencement referred to the stage in the demolition in which the permit had in fact been obtained. And since they hadn't even applied for a permit, then the judge concluded the landlord could not terminate the lease. And then when it came to the landlord's cross application, the judge found that the notices of default did not operate to terminate the lease. In fact, the notices of default operated to have the unintended effect of waiving the landlord's right to rely on the notice of termination. And notwithstanding the fact that the notices of the breach were brought without prejudice, the judge held that they were in fact intended to operate with prejudice and therefore had the effect of recognizing that the lease remained in effect and therefore constituted a waiver of the notice of termination under the demolition clause. Now, this whole case got appealed. In the appeal court, the court was asked to rule on two issues. Was the notice of termination valid? And number two, if the notice of termination was valid, did the landlord waive its right to terminate the lease by serving notices of default after the notice period? The majority of the appeal court judges held that the notice of termination was in fact not effective, and they upheld the original judge's ruling. But there was also a dissenting opinion. And the dissenting opinion wrote a rather compelling dissent, ruling that the notice of termination was effective, and he felt that the original judge's decision was unreasonable. The dissenting judge viewed that the asbestos removal process was in fact the commencement of demolition. There was tons of evidence on the record that the landlord planned the demolition in stages and that asbestos removal was in fact the first stage of demolition for which no permit was required, and that no other stage of demolition could occur before asbestos removal. The fact that other permits for later stages of the demolition might be required had no bearing on the interpretation of the termination provision. So this case demonstrates that judges can reach completely opposite conclusions on the same set of facts. We as business people, as entrepreneurs, really cannot tell in advance. It doesn't matter how right we think we are, we cannot predict how a judge is going to rule in a particular case. This specific example illustrates that point very clearly. It doesn't matter how right you think you are. If you're putting a motion in front of the court, you're really rolling the dice. It might go your way and it might go against you. As you think about that, have an awesome rest of your day. Go make some great things happen. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.